Hi, everyone. It's Roberta.
And this is Ryan. And this is the Midweek News
on Art Blog Radio. How are you today?
Good. Did you get caught up on emails?
Oh my God, email. Never ending email. Too young, but I remember being thrilled with getting my first emails. You know, on a little Mac machine with the keyboard plugged in, whatever they were called back then. It was amazing. And now look where we are. We hate it.
Yeah.
But we can't live without it, right?
Sure. Yeah, I remember dial-up and all those things.
Do you? Modems? Oh,
sure.
Yes.
Yeah, all the noise and the slow connection.
Yes, yeah. But thrilling when you could finally connect.
Yeah, I remember I had a Netscape, so like the pre, it was the Mozilla project, so before all Firefox and all that stuff, but it was, I can't remember some exciting update. I forget what the update was all about, probably nothing at this point, but it took overnight. Updated overnight. It was like 30 megabytes or something. I had to leave it running all night to get it to update. Because the night before it had like shut down and so it didn't complete the thing and it wouldn't restart from where it was.
Oh,
the good old days.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Tough times. Mm-hmm. But actually thrilling, right? Because it was all new and they were learning, you know, the tech companies. And now I feel like back then they were scrappy and sort of on our level. It was a more of a flat playing field. Mm-hmm. And now it's like they're on the mountain. We're down here and they're just dropping these bombs on us and we have to deal with
it. Yeah, it felt like pirate radio or that flat, like you were expressing that flatter vibe. Like you could find anything, like going to the library, you just stumble upon whatever. Yes. That was the beauty of it. Now it's like everything's funneled to six entities.
Right, and you have to pay for everything.
Sure. Then even if you don't, everything's sponsored ads and you only get so much. And it's just TV all over again in just a different format. It feels like you've enjoyed something, but here's an ad just in case you know how it has to go.
Yeah. Yes. Advertising. Over the last couple of days, I watched the Pee Wee Herman documentary, the new one that just came out. Mark Wolf, I believe, is the director of the documentary.
Yeah. I watched the first episode of that.
Very powerful.
Yeah.
I totally did not get Pee-wee at all when Pee-wee was a thing.
Sure.
And I always poo-pooed it and thought he was kind of nutty. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out he was nutty.
Sure.
Yes. But also, he was an artist.
Yeah.
I missed the boat on that.
Yeah.
It was all art. He worked with artists. He was an artist. He actually went to art school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he had problems. He was, you know, an artist. He had an artistic temperament.
Yeah.
He was like Andy Warhol, secretive.
Yeah. And he met Andy Warhol. I remember in the first episode they talked about that.
Yes.
Seemed like Andy Warhol was a iconic figure for him.
Absolutely. That and the Ringling Brothers Circus.
Apparently, being a circus performer anyway. Yeah, I didn't realize he was from lived in Sarasota for a while.
Do you know Sarasota?
No, but it just... He doesn't seem like someone from Florida. I always think of him much more Californian.
But yeah. The Pee-wee was Californian.
Pee-wee was Californian.
I guess Paul was not.
Yeah, hard to say. But yeah, it was interesting.
Anyway, highly recommended. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good. Made me sad.
Yeah, it's interesting watching it posthumously as well.
Yes, because he died in 2023.
Yeah.
Before the filmmaker was done filming him. And
it was
he hadn't shared that he was dying.
Yeah, that was the interesting
filmmaker.
Part. Yeah, they had 40 hours in and he never told the filmmakers that he was fighting cancer for 6 years or whatever they said.
So R.I.P. Pee-wee.
Yeah. Yes, it wasn't, you know, I've only seen the first episode, but I thought it was a pretty interesting story.
It was a very interesting story of his, you know, how he became Pee-wee and shunted out his personal life.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew Paul except very few people.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept it that way. He wanted it that way. He wanted Pee-wee to be him, be the person that got all the glory. And then at a certain point, he decided that was not what he wanted anymore. And then it became problematic.
Yeah.
And he had to come out of his Pee-wee shell and become who he was.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Very interesting. Very hard to cover that up. I mean, Warhol never got there. He had his mask on to his dying day, but Paul Rubens had to take off the peewee mask, and he survived that. Although it could be argued, maybe he didn't.
Yeah, maybe. I was going to say, depends on what you mean by survive.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway, it's good. We won't give the whole plot away. But if you missed out on Pee-wee and what he was doing, it's a really well-done documentary.
It really is.
You know, lots of FaceTime with the 70-year-old Pee-wee recollecting and being very peppery.
Yeah.
You know,
very feisty.
Yes. I have done a lot of interviewing of artists over my period with Art Blog, and I've never had anybody be really peppery and refuse to answer me. But Pee-wee was peppery.
He was, yeah.
He just refused. He dug in and he toyed with the filmmaker and wouldn't answer his questions and or taunted him. He was taunting answers.
He's the perfect untrustworthy narrator of his own story. It's like they had video montage and, you know, there's visual record of some of the things he was telling in his story, but some of it, anything personal life, he could just have made up and it could go anywhere and be anything.
Yeah.
So he's an interesting character.
Yes. No, he was a control freak. And that's what this was about. He wanted to control his own documentary, but he couldn't. Mm-hmm. He knew that intellectually, but he didn't behaviorally act that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He signed the papers with HBO, but then behaved otherwise. Yeah. He's an interesting character. I just saw the first episode, but I was surprised how many times he was on David Letterman when he was just starting out.
It apparently was a good match.
Yeah, apparently.
You know, David Letterman is this sourpuss, deadpan kind of affect, and Pee-wee was the opposite of that. That was a surprise, David Letterman.
Which tells you that he was probably having a tough time getting guests at the beginning, too, if Pee-wee's on there all the time.
Maybe so. Or Pee-wee was drawing audience. I would think Pee-wee made audience for him.
Sure. Can't hurt. A little spectacle.
Yeah. Yes. A lot of spectacle. Anyway, that's what I've been doing in my spare time. I watch it's two episodes. It's a documentary split into two. One is like an hour and a half or close to 2 hours long. So it's a, you know, sit through it. And it's slow enough that you can absorb it. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of color to absorb. Mm-hmm. But it is slow paced enough that they interview Pee-wee. You see a lot of FaceTime of Pee-wee. And then Bim Bam Boom, you see all the documentary evidence of him as Pee-wee and before that and after that. Mm-hmm. So it's nicely managed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with my kids, we've been watching BBC Earth, which has been around for a while now, but they have new versions. So BBC Three or BBC Earth 3 and whatever. So that's it's seasons, it's episodic. It's really interesting, you know, because we can't always agree on what we're going to watch, but nature usually is fairly innocuous and agreeable. And doesn't offend. And so we...
And enjoyable.
Enjoyable. And this latest stuff that we've been watching, the video that they're capturing is incredible. It's really remarkable. I mean, it's taking months and months and years to get this video that they have. I mean, the time to give us a 5-minute clip is months. It's an incredible thing.
So they had to go back many times to get the one thing that they knit together into one clip.
Yeah. And just how they're in the right place at the right time to like... The story can't be written until they go back and look through these hours and hours and hours, hundreds of hours of video.
True.
It's
true.
Remarkable. Like they, and there's this other series that they have with like the first segment is like these vines that are trying to find their way to the sun in a rainforest. And so they're like fighting each other, but it's time lapse over months. And the leaves are developing. It's just like, and we're seeing it in extremely fast motion, like a year of time in 2 minutes of our attention. It's just wild.
Does this spin out of David Attenborough?
It's all part of it. He's still narrating.
Oh, he's still narrating. I love David Attenborough. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he works with good videographers, filmmakers.
They do amazing work. Yeah, one article or one interview I was seeing with one of the camera people who was spent 17 days in a cave without coming out. Yuck.
For bats, what were they studying?
The cave.
the cave.
Yeah, and like everything that's happening in this cave is one of the largest caves. They had to go in at a certain time. Yo, it's wild.
That is hard-bitten, you know, naturalists.
Yeah.
That's really great.
That's
and
that wild.
The it's a BBC, so funded by the government in part.
Yeah, in part. The BBC is paying for it. I think there's a French group that's also paying for it. There's a few other groups that are kind of splitting the bill. Plus HBO is putting it on.
Ah.
So it's available there.
Uh-huh. BBC Earth.
BBC Earth.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess those are both on HBO, the Pee Wee Herman and the...
Yeah, Pee Wee Herman is on.
And the BBC Earth stuff.
Yeah. Yes. Max, as it's called.
I thought they changed their name back to HBO Max.
Did they?
Didn't John Oliver do a spoof on... I think I saw something on Instagram about they can't make up their mind on... And because he got taunted... Didn't he get taunted on Instagram by HBO? Saying, let's see how funny you can be about this name change back to the old name or something like to that effect.
I guess I missed that part. It's
wild. Yeah. So anyway, they can't decide who they're going to be. HBO is, it's fine. It's home box office. Mm-hmm. It's funny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it you is know, what it is.
Max, it's fine.
Meanwhile, back in the real world, should we talk about the news?
Let's talk about the news.
All right. In Philadelphia, we all know that the looming in 2026 is the celebration of the 250th anniversary of the founding of this country. It's a big whopper coming up. And there's a lot of people organizing a lot of different activities to celebrate. And some of this will involve Art Philly is putting together a bunch of mainline headliners who I don't know the names right off the top of my head, but that'll be coming up. But then there's, in traditional Philadelphia DIY fashion, there's an underground scene putting together its own program, and they're calling it Collective Futures. It's being managed more or less by Vox Populi Gallery, but it involves a lot of the alternative galleries and alternative projects that are not even galleries, like Fortune, which we've covered on Art Blog before, a group of artists that publish things, and Ulysses, which also publishes, but now has a space. Grizzly Grizzly, Pink Noise, Automats, BYO Print, Gravy Gravy, DVAA, Big Ramp, and Peep are all on board with this. They have proposals that they have put together, actual ideas for doing things, such as printmaking workshop, come on one and all and let's make some prints, and all kinds of other projects. It should be, they need money for this, so they're out fundraising for it, because, you know, you can't put these things on for nothing, because if you have volunteers who are volunteering their time, you still have materials costs, and you should pay artists. Artists need to be paid for whatever they're doing. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in 2026. And if there's anything more that we can tell you about or links that we can put in, we'll put it in the transcript so you can follow this down yourselves and prepare for what's coming up. So that's number one. Number two, and I'm excited for this too, there's a celebration of life for University of the Arts that has been organized in the former home of University of the Arts that's now under the ownership of Scout, which is the collaborative, whatever they are, company that put together the Bach building, that redid, renovated, and revivified the Bach building into a wonderful incubator for art, is ongoing really well. So Scout is putting together a celebration of life for the University of the Arts. Anybody that was ever affected by University of the Arts, went there, taught there, was neighbors, was in the art community and was affected by it, they're welcome to come June 4th through the 8th, 1 to 7 p.m. daily to Hamilton Hall, which is the big atrium building on the west side of the street, Pine and South Broad. And if you want to participate by doing poetry or music or performance, tell a story, you know, whatever you want to do, they have a form, and we'll put a link to that form in that you can sign up to participate. And they're going to create an altar of University of the Arts memorabilia, I guess, for want of a different word. And then it'll all be available to take away if you want to have a piece of it. So you could donate something to this altar that's going to be built and leave it there, or take it home, or take someone else's piece home, mm-hmm. or whatever. It sounds like a really wonderful hodgepodge of community making over this now gone institution. So bravo to Scout for doing this. And I hope a lot of people do go. I'm going to stop in. And that's, again, it's the 4th through the 8th of June, 1 to 7 p.m. daily, free. So that's fun.
Yeah.
So the third thing I have is Pink Noise, which is one of the galleries in the Vox building, the so-called Vox building, 319 North 11th Street. They have a call for artists in residence. They need two people in the summer, one for June and July, and one for August, or one July and August. So we'll put a link in. You can apply for that. They give you the run of their space. You can do events, performances. It's all written out in their CRACI, which we will link. And please apply to make use of the space. It's a really, it's free space for an artist to work in and do things in over the summer. And those are my things, Ryan. Only three this time.
Great. Way to keep it simple. One thing that's come up that I noticed that I wanted to shout out that was not necessarily an event, but something that's going on. Coming up on June 17th, Photo Lounge, who's a sponsor of Art Blog, as well as a friend of Art Blog, is taking a road trip to New York. And they're going to be, they have tickets. It's going to be an all-inclusive. So it's going to be take a chartered bus up for lunch. And they're going to the Build Expo at Javits Center, which is part of B&H Photo Video Company. They've been doing this for years amongst other groups. And they have keynote speakers. It's basically for like photographers, filmmakers, now content creators, and those types of people. That's who it's focused on and towards. That's happening June 17th. Tickets are available now. They have coupons if you are a group of four or more, but that looks like a lot of fun. I'll be out of town, but otherwise that would be something really fun to go to. So they're going to go to, I think, the Met as well. So they're going to the expo, they're going out for lunch, guided walking tour, and going to the Met as well. And everything's inclusive, round trip.
Chartered bus, you cannot make it better than that.
Spend the day in New York, nothing to think about, worry about, just show up and have a good time. So that's Photo Lounge. So that's coming up on the 17th. So I wanted you to be aware of that opportunity / event that's kind of fun. The Center for Creative Works Philadelphia is having an open studio sale coming up on May 31st from 11 to 5 p.m. This is both a sale and fundraiser for them. It's an all studio sale from artists within the studio. And you will see their artists and all their works, including screen printed t-shirts, ceramics, drawings, scarves, paintings, et cetera, et cetera. Lots of things for sale there. And if you don't know Center for Creative Works, it's a professional art program serving adults with intellectual disabilities. This is a program we're supporting. And if you didn't know about that, it's coming up May 31st from 11 to 5. The Science History Institute has an interesting show that I'm curious about. There's a, I don't know how you would describe them. I guess you would kind of describe them as a goth type duo. They're from Brooklyn. They've been around for a decade and change. It's called Charming Disaster. And they have a new album, which I haven't actually listened to, but apparently it's science-y related and a lot of nature with some magic, which is less surprising. But they're combining it with the Science History Institute. So they're putting on a show. The Science History Institute is 315 Chestnut Street. And the show is coming up in July, but I thought it looked really interesting and I wanted to, so I thought I would mention it. July 23rd, and that's from 6 to 8:30 at the Science History Institute. And it's going to be Charming Disaster with some specific show in combination at the Institute, which could be really interesting.
I've never been to the Science History Institute. Do you? Have you been?
Mm-hmm. They do some First Friday things,
okay.
But they're generally, they close early. So like if I'm doing a First Friday and they're having an opening, it's the first one I go to.
And what is there actually? What is on display?
There's a lot of difference. It's different science related things. It's not anywhere as big as like the Franklin Institute, but it's that kind of, I think. So it'll be interesting, but they have like a botanical stuff as well, like a nature things as well as just science. Where I guess as you think of technology and things of that nature when you think science, but botanical collections that are interesting. So, and that's kind of my jam. I have no idea going in, so then I'm just surprised the whole time. And then my theater pick of the week is Billy Gets a Bloody Nose. This is a staged reading, and I do enjoy readings. This is coming up June 13th and 14th. That's Friday and Saturday. It's Friday evening, and then Saturday, a matinee show. This is at Arden Theater Company. The show is 90 minutes, no interruption, which is fine. I think it was really interesting. They had a content advisory, which is explicit discussion of a sexual activity, strong language, alcohol and drug use, and kink shaming, which I'm not sure I've seen kink shaming as a content advisory, which I thought is particularly good. So Billy Gets a Bloody Nose. I haven't seen it, so I'm excited to see. I've read the write-up of it, but...
So it's a play.
It's a play.
But they're not acting. They'll be reading, sitting at a...
Yeah.
On chairs and on a stage.
Yeah. So I think what I like about readings is they often get a little ad-libby. They just kind of take advantage of it a little bit more improv. They're still reading and performing, but they actually are like trying out different movements and seeing how it feels. And, you know, and it's interesting because it's just two shows. You know, you're putting on your best show both times. So you're giving all you got. And you don't have to think about your lines. Because they're right there. You're just kind of thinking about how you are filling the space as your character. So they're a lot of fun. But it should be a lot of fun. Yeah. And just a couple days, that's June 13th and 14th. So those are my three plus the photo lounge event.
All right.
Yeah. So a lot of good things coming up in June. Summer gets a little bit slower in the city. I've definitely noticed that Temple, all the schools are out. Like I ride by Temple on a regular basis. And that's nice. That
crickets.
They're gone. It's like, yeah. It's a lot easier on bike. There's a lot less people.
Yeah, I think Penn, West Philly is probably good too.
Penn is done.
You can probably find a parking spot in West Philly these days.
I'm sure you could. Yeah, I went out for dinner the other day and there's like nobody there. I'm like, oh, this is wild. I guess everybody's gone home or gone back to where they're from or going on vacation or school's out. So maybe, you know, like she's going to Europe.
That's right.
So. You people are packing up and getting out.
Better for us. If you stay home, it's good for us.
Yeah. But there's still plenty of things coming up June. I give you one in July. So there's still plenty of things coming up. No, I think those are good things. I'm sure we'll have more coming up in June. Mm-hmm. And we'll have some things to talk about next week mm-hmm. as we wrap up.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
Today we put up our last AT feed mm-hmm. from Sarah Kazar, the mm-hmm. climate... parody, I guess you would call it.
But with facts, which is interesting.
Yes.
So it's not quite a parody. I'm not quite sure what you would call it. Because it's not an onion. It's not a spoof. It's not.
But it is sort of.
But it is kind of.
It's
yeah.
kind of a spoof with facts. Yes.
With facts.
It's critical. It's art criticism.
Yeah.
Climate
yes.
criticism. And very well done, if we do say so ourselves.
It's almost ironic.
Totally ironic.
Yeah. It's like it's Voltaire. Yeah, it's a great piece. That's on our blog now.
Yep, just went up this morning. We have a piece by Joyce Chung coming up. There was a movement piece that took place in West Philly at Studio 34 by Jung Moon Kim and 10 performers, and Joyce was there. So she took pictures and did a write-up, and we'll get that up as soon as we can.
Great.
That's the end of it for today. That's all I meant. I didn't mean to sound too final here. It's Roberta. Thanks for listening. And this has been Art Blog Radio.
And this is Ryan. And this has been Art Blog's Midweek News. Thanks for listening, everyone. And we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.